Romans, the 12th chapter in the first verse, it says, "Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice." Now, let's think about this for a second. Let's think about this in a different mindset as we begin to read this scripture. All right, we want to find peace in the inward man. We want to find joy in the inward man. We want to be at peace in our soul. If we can be at peace in our soul, if we can be in peace with the inside us, that is priceless. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the world. If you are not at peace with the inside you, then you are tormented, you are miserable, and there's not any amount of money or drugs that can fix that problem in your life. So here Paul is writing to Romans, and he's giving them a list of things to do. And when some of these things we look at, we think, But if they bring you peace to the inside you, if this will fix some of your problems, if this will bring peace into your life, why not? Amen? Why not? We always figure we can do better. If I can find a... You can be seated this morning. We figure if I can just find a good quiet place. Have you ever thought that? If I can just get to a quiet place, if I can just get to a peaceful place, if I can just get to a place where I can quiet my mind, or if I can just get 4 days off from my job, or if I could just go on vacation, if I could just get through this little situation, and there's always, if I could only be somewhere else doing something else, be something else, have something else different in my life, and if all of these things would change and align with the stars in the sky, then life could be good and we would be happy and life would be peaceful and everything would be great and everything would be wonderful. And the truth of the matter is you are still you, whether all the stars are aligned. You are still you, whether you are in another city, another place, a different job, a different situation. You are still you. So in order to change your circumstances, you first have to begin to work on the inward you, the real you, the soulish side of man. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this morning, I'm going to talk for just a little while about finding a servant soul. If you want to find the perfect will of God for your life, everybody wants the perfect will of God. They want that they want to see out into the future. We want that instead of, we like to look at a roadmap and figure out where we're going and plot our course and how we're going to get there, and so we can see out into the future. Nowadays, you can go on Google Earth, you can look at the convenience stores that are there on the route, you can find out if it's a good one or a bad one, you can plan which one you're going to stop at, you can find your favorite restaurants along the way and plan where all you're going to stop. My four brothers, I've got two brothers and two brother-in-laws, and they were in Port Arthur this weekend. They drove in, brought a huge supply truck for their distribution center. And so my brother-in-law and my brother are driving down the road. They had the big trailer. They came in two different trucks. So they didn't realize how tall the trailer was. It works good with the church van, but the thing is just a huge sail going the wrong direction coming down the interstate. So here, if you pass a gas station 3, 4, 8 miles later, you'll find another one. But in West Texas, you pass a gas station, it could be an hour and a half later before you find another one. And so they went through Crane and they stopped and got Dairy Queen and they forgot to get gas. So they took off and had a good trek to get to Ozona through a bunch of hills and different things. So we have this silly video chat thing where it's like walking talkies but videos, and so they're all chatting back and forth and we're cutting up and laughing, and they've got all these names, trucker names for themselves, and it's a big joke, and everybody's cutting up and just back and forth helping pass the time. And And so finally they get to a place where they said, we need you to pray. You know, it's we're running out of gas a lot quicker than we thought we were going to. This trailer's dragging us down. We're only getting 9 miles to the gallon. We were hoping to get 14. And so they said, we've got 23 miles to Ozona. We need y'all to pray. And so then they start praying. And then their faith is high. They make it 20 miles on zero. It's been zero for 20 miles. So now their faith is high. They're celebrating. And they're thinking Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. They're bringing all of it into it. And they're cutting up, and we're going to make it. God's going to provide. And then in the middle of the video, it's... And the next time you see them, they're on the side of the road. And then the next video, they're walking down the interstate. There's a sunset behind them. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. And so that wasn't a part of the plan. That wasn't what they were planning on doing. And luckily, there was a, they said it was an angel in a Stetson that had 10 gallons of diesel. And so he showed up and bailed them out after about 100 yards, which is good because it sounded like my middle brother was about to die in the 100-yard trek that they did make down the interstate. But it wasn't a part of the plan. It wasn't a part of what they wanted to do. It wasn't a part of where they were going. What they saw and what they wanted was different than what happened. And a lot of times we want to be able to see the entire path out in front of us. And if God will give us the entire path, then we'll be happy. That's what we think the will of God is. Show me where I'm going to be in my future. Show me where I'm going to be 10 years from now. Show me where my kids are going to be doing. Show me. That's what we think the will of God is. And we forget that the will of God, most of the will of God that we do in our lives, is what we do every single day. Amen. It's the will of God for us to be faithful to the house of God. It's the will of God for us to have a relationship with God. It's the will of God. There are hundreds of scriptures to back up all of this. It is the will of God that we are faithful in what we do with our time and our giving. It is the will of God that we do follow after Him, that we read our Bible. It's the will of God that we are servants unto others. Now, the word servant isn't a word that we like, or the word servant is not something that we enjoy talking about. When we talk about a servant, we think of somebody that is owned. We think of slavery. We think of somebody that was bought. And so we don't like the term to serve, to be a servant. And being in the United States of America, it's almost a curse word. That's not something that we want to do. We will serve on our own terms. If there's something that happens, if there's a catastrophe, you know, we'll do it. It makes us feel good. There's something about serving that does make us feel good because there's something about us that was created to serve, and we're going to go through the scriptures and talk about that. So it does make us feel good, but it has to be on big measures. It has to be something that gets attention. And nowadays, I've learned that, you know, and we're guilty of it as a church, but we're trying to get stuff out there and let people know that we're doing things. But it's almost, it didn't happen unless you can post it on Facebook. You know, if you went and served somewhere and it doesn't make it on Facebook, did it really happen? So we've got to make sure that everybody knows and everybody sees what's going on. But we read in John 13:4 as Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. And I'm going to use this scripture in the second sermon, so I'm not going to go into it a lot. But I just want to read it because the end of this sermon, the end of these verses in verse 17 says everything that we've been talking about and what we're trying to create in our lives. It says, he rises up from supper and he laid aside the garments and he took a towel and he girded himself. And he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, then thou hast no part with me. And Simon said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew Who should betray him? Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do what I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, servants, it says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he sent greater, neither than that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then he says, if ye know these things, happy are they if ye do them. Happy. We all want to be happy, but we never equate happiness and servitude. We never equate being happy and serving somebody else. It's always a negative. It's always, I've got to go to the church. I've got to go serve here. I've got to go do that. I've got to go do this. And there's always a negative connotation. There's always having to beg, check, hey, are you going to be at this? Are you going to be able to help? Are you going to be able to do this? Are you going to be able? Because that just nobody just naturally just wants to be a servant. We want to be kings. We want to be lords. We want to be the masters of our domain. And so here Jesus is saying, if you're going to be happy, it's going to be because you are willing to step down off of wherever you're at and to be able to serve somebody else. Jesus would not make you do something that was not good for you. He would not ask you to do something that would not bring an end result that is right into your life. And so here he is saying, if you will do these things, you will find happiness. Wash somebody else's feet, I'll find happiness. Do something for somebody else, I'll find happiness. There's an old Western called The Revolver on the television, and there was a young boy on there that a lady got her purse robbed, and he tracked the guy down and got her purse back and brought it back to her, and she tried to give him a reward, and he said, no, ma'am, you can't give me a reward because some things are just good for your soul. Service is good for your soul. Doing something for somebody else is good for your soul. For your soul. I want to be happy. Then what are you doing to help make yourself happy? Oh, I bought a new vehicle. I bought a new truck. I've got this. I've got that. I've got a raise on the job. I've got a vacation plan. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that any of those things will make you happy. But it does say that service will make you happy. Now you can find joy and peace, and you can find things. There can be happiness that is created in those moments and times. I'm praying for Disneyland right now because I'm planning on going back because it's a magical place, you know. And we like vacation, but we've got to understand that service is where God says we will find happiness. Matthew 23:11. But he that is the greatest among you, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and he sat down and he called the 12, and he saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. He says, if you keep running up to me and you keep saying, this is me and I'm this and I'm that, and I want to be number one and I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to be the greatest, he's saying, don't. If you think you're number one, then you can just, in my mind, I've already moved you to the very last of the pack. He said, and the same, he says, and if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receive not me, but him that sent me. He's talking about God, that not the flesh. You're not just receiving the flesh. You're receiving God when you receive the least of me, when you serve the least of me. How we treat children and how we treat the elderly says exactly who we are. It's not how we treat the people that can do something back for us. It's how we can treat the people that can do nothing for us. Jesus in Luke 22 and 26, but ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Now in the Bible, the eldest always had everything. The eldest was the boss. The eldest received everything from pretty much everything from the father. He was the one that got all of the inheritance. And so Jesus is saying here that if you're going to be the greatest, you need to be the younger. And he that is the chief as he that doeth serve. For whether he is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth. He that's at the table or he that's serving the table. Who's the greatest? He asked the question. Is not he that setteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. We think the one sitting at the table is the greatest, and Jesus says the one that serveth the table is the greatest. We think the one that sits there with meat on his plate in front of him is the one. And Jesus says, you don't understand. I don't keep score like you keep score. I don't look at the scoreboard and at the field the same way that you do. I'm not interested in your talents and your abilities. I'm not interested in how great and how awesome you are. What I am interested in, are you willing to serve my people? We've talked about it time after time as Jesus looked at Peter and asked him, do you love me? And Peter, yes, you know that I love you. And then love what I love. Take care of what I want you to take care of. Serve what I care about. True loving of him is taking care of what he loves. True loving, I can tell God I love you all day long, but if I don't show my love... I was talking to somebody this past week, and I began to talk to them, and they had just different situations and different things. And I said, you've got to show them you love them. And showing them you love them is also showing them how much you love their children also. You've got to understand that you've got to love what they love in order for them to know that you love them. We've got to understand that there has got to be a place inside of us that it's not just all about us, because there isn't anybody. I can't find anybody that is all about themselves that is completely and perfectly happy. Oh, I've got people in my own family that it is completely 100% about them, and they are the most miserable, most down, most upset, most frustrated, most angry, most poor mouth, always, everything's always wrong, nothing's good, nothing's not right, just everything, woe is me situations that are going on in their lives. There's something about somebody that gets out beyond themselves, amen? You look at Romans 15 and 1, Paul says, and it says, and then they are strong ought to bear, them that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. There is something about helping somebody else. There's something about there's somebody else being weak and us picking them up and being able to help them and to carry them. You say, well, how can I help? I don't know exactly where I can get involved. Ask Jesus. He'll tell you. You already know where God wants you to get involved in the kingdom, but you don't, that's not what you want to hear. That's not what, because we think if I can get enough peace, if I can get away from enough, if I can find enough alone time, if I can enjoy, then that's where I'll find my happiness. But God did not create us in that way. He created us to find happiness in his will. And how do I find his will? It's by taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of every day and making sure, God, what is your will today? I know that your will for me today is to pray. I know that your will for me today is to serve. I know that your will for me today is to open my Bible. I know that your will for me today is to try to find and spend time with you. I know that your will for me today is to try to show goodness to somebody else. When was the last time you just showed a random act of kindness to somebody that could give you nothing back in return? bought somebody's meal that you know might not ever pay for your meal. Just gave somebody something knowing that they'll never be able to return you in full of what you're being able to do for them at that moment. There is something about that that God likes. We look at Abigail. Abigail says in 1 Samuel 25 and 41, there was something special about this young lady, Abigail. Abigail was tapped into God. Abigail actually prophesied things to David that nobody else knew about David but Samuel and Saul. Abigail had a relationship with God. She was sensitive to the moment. We talked about her a few months ago. The things that Abigail was capable of, the things that she did, she was bold. She had strength. She stood at the midst of an army of 300 men and stood and watched them and put them back and talked David out of destroying her entire family and all of her servants and everybody that she loved. And after all of the story is over and Nabal has died and all of that has happened, David comes to Abigail. He sees this woman that is special. He sees this woman that the hand of God is upon. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel 25 and 41, and she arose and she bowed herself to the earth. And she said, behold, let thy handmaiden be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So this woman that was prophetically used of God, this woman that was able to protect her entire family, this woman that had boldness to stand in the face of an army all by herself, was a servant and willing to serve others. You see, as you begin to go throughout the Bible, it is amazing that God begins to find people throughout the Bible. The people that he uses are people that are willing to serve. How did Isaac find his wife, Rebekah? When the servant showed up, he prayed a prayer that a woman would come to him and say, hey, I will not only give you water, but I will give your 10 camels water. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to give a horse water. My brother Doug can talk to us about getting donkeys and cows water, and they're big critters. They can take on a lot of water. Can you imagine giving water to 10 camels? They've got humps where they store water. They've been on a long journey for days. And it's not just turning on the faucet. It's going down to the well. It's dropping the bucket. It's picking the bucket up. It's going over and dumping the bucket so that the camel can get the water. Going back to the well, dropping the bucket, pulling the bucket back up, going over, dropping it to the camel and going back over. I don't know how many times. I tried to look it up last night and I ran out of time. But I don't know how many times you would have to do that in order to just get one camel satisfied with all the water that one camel can hold. But his prayer was, God, help me to find somebody that is a servant. Help me to find somebody that is not all about themselves. See, that's what God looks for. He looks for people that are willing to go beyond themselves to do something for somebody else. You say, I don't have the talent. God says, I don't care. You say, I don't have the youth. God says, I don't care. You say, well, I don't have the mind that I used to have. And God says, I don't care. I'm just looking for somebody that is willing to serve, because when I begin to look for that, that's who I'm looking for. Joseph served everywhere that he went. He served his father. He served Potiphar. He served the jailer. And he served Pharaoh. And he served himself all the way to second in command in all of Egypt. And because of his service, he was able to save that entire region from famine because of his service. I imagine that it was his service that kept him sane when everybody else said, let's break out of prison and kill your brothers. I imagine it was his service that kept him sane when Potiphar's wife would come to him. See, you say, I'm struggling with living for God. No, you need to find a place to get involved in the kingdom of God, because you have absolutely zero ownership of your relationship with God. There's something about it when you say, I'm going to work today and I'm going to be the best that I can be for my God. I'm going to go and I'm going to find a place that I can get involved in the kingdom of God. And I'm not just talking about in these four walls. We've got to get out of these four walls. We've got to get out and allow this city to see Jesus through our lives. It doesn't have to have anything to do with Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church. It's just getting out and saying, I want people to see Jesus in my life. I want to display the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is not displaying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is displaying the King. When I give of myself, when I sacrifice of myself, that is displaying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You look at Tabitha in Acts 9 and 36. Tabitha was a disciple and she died. And the women went and got all of the coats that she had made all through the years. That was her ministry, sewing coats for people. When winter time came, she was hard at work getting everybody ready. And she died. And they begin to gather up the coats. I don't know how many hundreds of coats she made for people. They gathered those coats up and they began to fill that room full of her coats that she had sewn. And they went and they got the apostle. And when he showed up, he walked into a room that was piled full of coats. He must have said, what in the world are y'all doing? And they were saying, hey, this woman is a servant. This woman is a servant. She doesn't care anything about herself. She's only worried about somebody else, and we want to show you who she really is. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem in Luke 10 and 30, and he was on his way to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his raiment, and they wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I have no idea how half dead is, but half dead does not sound good. Leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest. A priest. This should be good. We ought to be all right. A priest is coming. And a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. And likewise a Levite. This is a good church person that works in the church, that's involved in the church. And likewise a Levite. And when he was at that place, came and looked on him. He came over and maybe even said a prayer. Oh, God, please touch this fellow. Send somebody along to take care of him. He even came over and looked at him, at least said hello to the guy. Gave him a thumbs up, said, praying for you. No, it's going to be all right. And God's going to send somebody to come and take care of your needs. And everything's going to be good. But a certain Samaritan, this is a half Jew, that nobody would talk to. The man that was laying half dead on the side of the road wouldn't even conversate with if he was feeling good. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. And he went into him, and he bound his wounds, and he poured in the oil and the wine, and he set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Why? Because it's good for the inside you. It's good for you to get out from all of your problems and go invest in somebody else's problems. It's good for you to get out and quit wallowing in what's wrong in all of your world and to open the door and step out into the sunshine and say, I've got to find somebody else's life that I can invest in. I've got to find somebody else that I can help in the midst of their trouble. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Worked at a church. There was a lady there. She did not play well with others. Great woman. Going to heaven. Lots of talented things that she can do. You want to get something done, you give her the job, and it's going to be done. Now, there's going to be 18 people crying between that moment and the time the job gets done, but the job will get done. She is a machine. And so, but she began to learn that, you know what, possibly I work better alone. And so in her aptitude and who she was, she would find things that she could do around the church when nobody else was there, because she understood that she could be a little bit bold and brash, and that she understood that she kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And so she began to find things that she could do. Now, if you asked her to do something, she was still going to get it done. She'd grab the flag and take off, and it was going to get done. But she would do things where she knew that she could fit in and do the best of her ability. And that she, see, you've got to understand that it doesn't matter what abilities you have, just find somewhere to serve. Ask God, where do you want me to serve? And just be open and honest. Whatever it is that you tell me to do, I will do it. And if it's going over and doing the weeds in somebody's yard, if God asks you to do it, that's as powerful as any sermon at any conference, because you're doing the will of God. If God asks you to go give somebody some money to put in their gas tank, go and do it. And that's as powerful as anything else. That's as powerful as somebody being healed of cancer. Why? Because you're doing the will of God. And as long as you're doing what you can to do the will of God, you'll keep doing the will of God. God will keep using you. And even though it might be a small thing you now, you have no idea what God will trust you with 6 months from now, 3 months from now, a year from now. If you just begin to put yourself out there, God will use you. And you will. Will you be tired? Oh, there'll be days that you are weary. Well, there'll be days that you shake your head and wonder, wow, well, you know, I could have been at the lake this week. I could have spent some of that money on a new shirt, or I could have put that towards a boat, or I could have bought a new dress. But there's something about the peace of God that comes when we do what Jesus asks us to do. Constantly, Jesus is saying, I need you to serve. Constantly, Jesus is saying, I need you to be a servant. Constantly, he's saying, find people to help. Go and do likewise. And our flesh says, no. And Jesus says, you know the scripture? If you will do this, if you will humble yourself, and you'll wash somebody else's feet, I'm not saying literally, but if you'll take care of somebody else, you will find happiness. Brother Pugh, I want to be happy. Find somebody this weekend. Help them. I need to feel joy in my life. I'm depressed. I've got too many things going wrong. Find somebody else in this world and help them this week. And you will be shocked, the feeling and what will happen. Because why? Because God knows that it's good for the soul. The soul needs for us not to keep feeding it and filling it and giving it everything that it wants. It needs us to go to a place where it doesn't want to go and do things that we don't want to do. It needs us to go and help at a soup kitchen. It needs us to go to Vider and stand in a line and feed hundreds of people as they come through. It needs us to slave over a stove so that we can send food to another church. It needs us to go and cut drywall out and wear masks and have all the dust and nastiness around. It needs us to go and do something that is beyond us, because it is good for us and it helps us. Amen. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, we've been talking about having a healthy soul. We've been talking about finding peace and joy in our lives. Peace and joy is not going to come from our stuff. It's not going to come from our money. And it's not going to come from all of the things that we can obtain. It's going to come because we do your will. It's going to come because we begin to work on the inward man. And the inward man needs to learn how to serve. The inward man needs to learn how to lay things down and to give things up. The inward man needs to learn how to allow God to be God through them to show the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.